Welcome to Fully Vetted, animal care news from the clinic to the farm, presented by the Ohio Veterinary Medical Association. And here is your host, Mia Cunningham, and producer, Kristen Bennett.
Hello and welcome to the Fully Vetted podcast. My name is Mia Cunningham and I'm excited to serve as your host for today's segment. Now, for those of you listening, I hope I can say this uncontested, but 2020 has been a challenging year. COVID-19 has drastically altered the way we live our lives, and we here at the Fully Vetted podcast have tackled the pandemic from a few different angles for our listeners. However, we've not heard from students. As such, today we've invited two students from The Ohio State University College of Veterinary Medicine to join us and share how the pandemic has affected their educational experience. I'd like to welcome Jorge Eduardo Mendoza and Kylie Tyler to the show.
Hello, you two.
Hi, Mia. Thank you for inviting me.
I'm happy to be with you today.
Absolutely. How are you both today?
I'm doing well. I think that it has been a great day. I'm really happy because we got some rain and it's cool outside. So it's a great day.
So I wanted to start off by asking you both to share a little bit about your background. So we will let the ladies go first.
Yeah, sure. I am a second year at Ohio State University, and I am kind of interested in pathology and like research aspect of veterinary medicine. But I love general practice too. I currently work at a veterinary hospital here in Columbus, and it is a really great experience.
Are you from Columbus originally?
I'm not. I'm from Utah originally, so I make quite the trek out here, and I've really loved it so far. It's been a great experience.
Wonderful. Jorge Eduardo?
So my family is from Mexico City. I grew up in Mexico City until I was 11 years old. Then we moved to the big city of Garden City in Southwest Kansas with 50,000 people, and I'm exaggerating on the number. And I knew that I wanted to go to college. I thought that I wanted to be an optometrist. So I went to Kansas State University to get my undergraduate. And then I started doing work with animals. And I was like, you know what? This is amazing. I'm going to do a PhD instead of being an optometrist. And then I did my master's working with two-toed and three-toed sloths at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And that's whenever I realized that I wanted to go into vet school. So I came to Ohio State, worked there for 2 years in education. And then I applied to vet school and I wanted to stay at Ohio State. That was my number one choice. And I was lucky to actually get accepted. And I have loved Ohio State. We have great support from the teams, from the professors. I think that we love each other. The students love each other. I love it.
Wonderful. So you've had quite the trajectory.
Yeah.
Awesome. And if I could ask you guys to go back in your memory banks, take me back to March 9th when Dean Drake suspended all face-to-face instruction at Ohio State University because of the pandemic. Do you guys remember what your immediate thoughts were?
Yeah, we were in spring break whenever I read the news from the email from President Drake saying that we were going to be doing online school. I didn't know what to think at that moment. And it just seemed crazy. Like the fact that we were canceling school, that's just insane. And then later on, then we find out that March Madness was going to be canceled. Whenever we don't have basketball and we're not making millions of dollars out of basketball in the United States, I feel like we have an issue going on.
Yes, like, you know, it was serious then. Kylie, what do you remember thinking?
It was just like a wild realization that we were not going to be going back after spring break. My brother actually came and visited me during spring break, and I was with him when we found out we weren't going back to school. And he was like, "You're so lucky." And I was like, "I guess, like, this is not exactly how I imagined finishing my first year of veterinary school being online." It was kind of not like exhilarating, but like kind of surreal. It was like a surreal kind of experience. And there were a lot of adjustments that had to be made to like facilitate my own learning, because learning online is kind of hard for me. But it was also just like a new experience. But it was like, it made things really real. You know, the pandemic, it made it feel really serious and very like in the forefront of our minds if we couldn't go and participate in our education in person.
They made the announcement initially thinking that they were just going to postpone classes until March 30th, but then it was evident you weren't returning at all for the semester. So, Kylie, you touched on that a little bit. How did you make the adjustment to remote learning?
It took a lot of self-discipline because suddenly our classes were kind of asynchronous and our tests were not, you know, in the format that we were used to. And suddenly I didn't have anything propelling me out of bed at 7 a.m. You know, it was a very interesting adjustment to be like, okay, I have to really make myself a schedule. I have to really take responsibility for this learning. Whereas before, the structure was given to me And that kind of rigidity vanished, you know, it was like, suddenly it was very on me. And I felt that like immediately last semester. And it's just kind of continued as we've started the semester up again. It's really takes a lot of self-discipline, I think, in scheduling.
I think that Ohio State Vet School has a great system before COVID-19. We go to lecture and the lecture is being recorded what's on the screen and what the professor is saying. So it's called lecture capture. And then we go home and then that lecture is there. Or let's say we didn't go to a class for whatever reason, that lecture is already in the cloud and we can watch it. So the transition was easy for, I think, professors and students to realize, at least what I think, to realize, okay, they can still watch those lectures, whether it's from last year, or we can create new ones if we're going to modify that lecture. But I think that it was mainly the structure. I'm one of those persons that really needs to go to classes because otherwise I feel guilty. And I know that I need to put down my phone. I need to be focused on what's going on in front of me. But with lecture capture, I think that it's easier for us to get distracted with a text message or with whatever is going on. So it took a little bit, but I think that for me, at least as time went on, the hardest part was that we didn't have the club activities, the social interactions. To me, that's the thing that I miss the most. Because I was not seeing my friends. So many of our classmates, they decided to go home. One of my friends is from Hawaii. He decided to go back to Hawaii and he was doing remote learning from there.
So what ways have you found to stay connected with your classmates?
Yeah, I think the loss of like a physical community can be seen as like really difficult. And I think the university did a really good job of trying to bring us together. The dean instituted town halls every week on Fridays, where students and faculty and staff all joined in on a giant Zoom call. And he kept us like updated about things that were happening, the decisions they were making coming into the fall. And I always felt like his and all of the faculty really working to make this a good experience, all things considering. And I felt like that helped to create a good sense of community among the college. And I think that a lot of clubs, especially this year, going into the semester, have really had to make some adjustments to like encourage people to get on a Zoom call because Zoom fatigue is like really real, I think. I don't know, just really trying to give students the opportunity to make that community wherever they are, which we see as people graduate too. You know, Ohio State has a wonderful sense of like school pride and community and trying to make that wildly available, even if we can't be there in person.
So for me, I think that, I quickly started missing people. And my wife, she's a teacher. So also her classes started, they started canceling classes. And she was happy. Like, she was like, you know what? I want to make the best out of it. And she's a homebody. I also like to stay at home, but I love talking to people. And I'm like a Labrador, I think. So I quickly, one day, I was like, you know what? I really miss our professors. So through BBMA, I'm going to invite professors to get into a Zoom meeting and do a socializing with Dr. Niehaus or socializing with Dr. Burns. I mean, we love our professors. So they're amazing. But there are some professors that are really popular. So I was like, why don't we get those popular professors and start having meetings with the students to talk about anything that they want, whether it's like advice on how to go about their studies, about talking about movies, music. And I think that we were, not to brag, but we were one of the few clubs that started doing that. And then I think quickly that started rising to other clubs like, oh, you know what? We can do things like that. We can invite a veterinarian that works at a zoo and tells us how the life of COVID-19 is happening at a zoo. And I think that interaction, I think, helped us a lot to just stay connected. And later after that, the Zoom burnout started coming up where it's like, oh, more Zoom meetings. And I think that whether we want it or not, we don't enjoy Zoom meetings as much as we did at the beginning. I think that many of the students are getting jobs now at a clinic, working here and there. One, because there's a lot of work now in the clinics. And two, because they also want to get some money and they want to space out a little bit from classes.
Yeah, I got a job kind of in the middle of summer, in part because my externship got canceled and I kind of needed something to do. I also knew about the time that I got this job that we would not be returning for in-person classes. And I really wanted to have something to look forward to where I was around people. And it's been a really awesome experience, especially this year going through the systems courses to apply what I'm learning in class to this clinic. And I don't know that I would have gotten a job without COVID kind of intervening and messing with my summer and my life plans. Like Jorge Eduardo said, it is so busy. Clinics are really, really booming right now. And it means we see a lot of cool things, and it means we see a lot of routine things. And I feel like I'm getting a really holistic view of the profession. And I'm really grateful for that.
Might be another way to supplement what you may be missing in other areas.
Yeah, for sure.
Clearly, you all are involved in some clubs and organizations.
Okay, so I am the president of BBMA. I'm also a member of Interprofessional Council, which is like the student government of professional schools. And this is where like law school, vet school, all these professional schools, I think it's like 7 or 8 that Ohio State has, we get together and we start talking about ways that we can help the students. Besides that, I also joined Animal Behavior. I love animal behavior, and I think that humans are not separated so much from what I learned from animal behavior. And I'm in Women's in Veterinary Medicine. There's not many guys, but I think that club teaches a lot of how we can thrive in a profession that I think that for me as a minority or first generation, that maybe we're not used to being. I'm also involved in SAFMA. That's a big one. The Dentistry Club. And the biggest one that I didn't want to forget is Latinx. And the reason why I say the biggest one right now is because it is a new group that we have. And I think it took a lot of effort, and it has been, this is the first time that a Latinx club is actually formed at Ohio State Vet School. To me, that gives me the hope that veterinary medicine is branching out and is reaching out to a diverse population. Not only this club, I think it's doing wonders, but also the James Affinity Bias Club. I think that the fact that we have groups that focus on Black students and Hispanic students or Latino students or Latinx, it gives us, at least to me, a hope and excitement about the profession where it's going.
Absolutely. And lastly, though, you didn't mention, you do sit on our newly formed Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Task Force for the OBMA. So very happy to have your voice there. So just
Thank
one
you.
More to the pile.
And I am involved with some of the same clubs, actually. I'm also a board member of VBMA, which is the Veterinary Business Management Association. And that has been a really great experience. We have a really robust membership. I'm also on IPC, which is the Interprofessional Council, which that was also very interesting going online. And we typically meet once a month and discuss challenges that reach our students in the unique professions that we're in. And obviously COVID-19 definitely was a big impact on that. I'm also a board member on the Veterinary Public Health Club, which really focuses on the One Health concept of veterinary medicine. And then I'm involved in like Lab Animal Club, Pathology Club, the Theriogenology Club, and SAFMA. SAFMA and OVMA, of course.
As you guys are, you know, re-entering campus, what does the landscape look like for those clubs? Have you guys given any thought to that? And I don't know if you can give a universal answer because you're involved in so much, but maybe, you know, pick one.
I think we can both kind of focus on VBMA because we're both highly involved in VBMA, and we have a lot of awesome things going on this semester. Because of the mandates from the university, we can't hold in-person events this semester, which definitely is challenging, but it just means kind of we have to be creative about how we do things. So luckily, VBMA is a national organization, so we also have nationals backing us quite a bit. We have great events through them also. So we have really renowned speakers coming, veterinarians that are like highly successful coming to talk to us, workshops where we're, you know, working with them and having a discussion with them about not only like what it's like in vet school, but like how we meet the challenges like the ones we're facing now with COVID and social injustice, and how we are like really tackling these problems that are not unique to our profession, but like things that we're seeing in the world right now that are things that we have to work through as professional veterinary students.
Yeah, I think that COVID-19 for clubs might not be completely a bad thing. There's pros and cons. One of those pros is that students don't spend as much money on bringing speakers to Ohio State. There's no travel, there's no hotels. But again, we miss on the face-to-face, on that social interaction. But at the same time, we can have many events, and we can also have really cool people come and talk to us. Andy Rourke, he's going to be talking to BBMA on September 23rd. This event is prepared by the National BBMA, and all the students are going to get a Yeti I don't know if I can say brand, but a Yeti mug. And that's amazing. And we're going to have Dr. Hodges virtually come to Ohio State. Dr. Hodges, he's a Black veterinarian that has a TV show in National Geographic, and you can also watch him in Disney Plus. And his show is called Critter Fixers.
I want to come to that cool. one. I'm a huge fan.
Okay. And he was going to come in person, but the fact that he's not having to travel or anything like that and put that money for something else that is going to be helpful for students. I also have seen with other clubs that some of the other clubs, they have completely said, you know what, this year we're not going to be charging dues because there's no charges on speakers this year, or we're not going to have food to give to the students. And for us as BBMA, right now we're doing well and companies want to talk to us, and we also have some money saved that we can offer students. Hey, we might not be able to provide you lunch right now physically, but we're going to send you a $10 gift card for you to attend to that event. So I think that if students are adapting to COVID-19 and trying to think about ways to attract students to be involved without necessarily giving COVID-19 to each other.
So are those efforts that you're taking creating an excitement amongst your membership? Like, is interest still there? Do people still want to be involved?
I want to say that they're involved. I wouldn't sell something that I'm not passionate about. And we just had our meeting, introductory meeting for BBMA. Since then, the students have been paying not only the fee, they have the option of either paying the fee for 1 year or for 4 years. So many students are signing up for 4 years. That's how excited that they are about different clubs. I'm not just going to say BBMA, different clubs. So I think that we're still giving something to the first years to be excited. And that makes me happy, because if I was a first year right now, I think I would be a little bit discouraged to be as passionate about vet school, because you don't have the social interaction with friends, meeting new peers in your classes, going to labs. And that's one of the drawbacks. We don't have live labs. So clubs sometimes, for example, dentistry, one of the labs could be you learn how to clean teeth. We don't have those labs, but we're making it up in different ways.
Well, kudos to you both. It sounds like you guys are doing some great things and continuing to foster that sense of community despite what's going on. So classes started August 20th. What did reentry look like for you all?
So the veterinary school was a little bit different than the university at large. We are hybrid, meaning that a lot of our labs are in person, but all of our didactic learning is online. I think that's been met with mixed responses. The university did a really good job of creating modules for us. So it's not 100% just watching the lectures or watching a lecture capture from last year and then being done. It's more like work and assignments that we're doing, which I think has been an adjustment, but I think that has been met generally with good response. As far as going like into the classroom, We go in for labs, and that has looked vastly different than it did this time last year. Everybody is obviously in PPE, so there's masks. We also have face shields for any time we're in really close contact with one another. Our labs are like 20 people, and we're in our giant lecture halls with these 20 people so that we can appropriately social distance. And it's wild. Like, it's just surreal to be in this, you know, this situation. But I think that they've done a really good job. I feel really comfortable going to school for those labs because I feel like they're doing a really good job of protecting us and really being conscious about keeping us with the same people so that we can facilitate tracing if that's necessary. I feel like they're doing a really good job for the in-person stuff, in my opinion. Granted, I only have 2 labs, but I think they're doing a good job in those 2 labs.
Really quick, I just want to give you a picture of what last semester was compared to now. Last semester, everything continued the same rhythm. Every semester, we take 1, 2, or sometimes 3 exams per week and not many assignments, only for a few classes. Now, this year is different because we don't have as many exams and there are not as many exams that are going to be in person. But the difference, I think, and Kylie mentioned it, is that it's now modules. You go through readings, a few short videos with the notes, you answer a few quizzes, and that's helping you prepare for the exam that eventually you will have. I think professors have done a great job on what education or research and learning has shown that it works, that is active studying or learning works better. For example, reading, summarizing, answering questions, instead of going to a lecture, that whole hour, you're learning like what, 10% of what you're listening. And I think with now that active learning, we're going to learn better. That doesn't mean that we're going to like it more. But I think that our professors are looking at the research and seeing what's working the best. I think that a lot of our classmates are going to like it. I know one of my friends, he was like, you know what? I don't know if I would like to say exactly what I think about how we are learning COVID-19 because I really like it. I think this is the type of learning that I've been wanting for a while, but not everyone is going to agree with me. And for me, I do miss the old system, but I think it's because who likes change? No one likes change, right? It's going to be a transition for us to become accustomed to this new learning.
I really liked the old system. I don't hate the new system, though. I mean, like, I think it's just a change. I'm like a really auditory learner. So having things that we're now reading and we're kind of like engaging different parts of our brain has been an adjustment for me. Not an easy adjustment for me. But I feel like they are teaching us to be like critical thinkers, right? So we have class for 1 hour a week for each class, where our whole class will get on the Zoom call and our professor will talk to us for an hour. And a lot of my classes are going through like case studies, like a dog shows up to your clinic and his urinalysis reads this. What does that mean? You know, how do we treat that? And it's more of a conversation of, you've done all this learning, how do you apply that? And I've kind of liked that aspect of it. I feel like that's something we didn't get as frequently in the old style of lecturing. There's good and bad about both of them. But I think overall, it's going to make us good doctors and members of this profession.
I think this is like a whole nother level of grit that you guys are displaying.
One thing that I really like that a campus has done, and Kylie mentioned it, is the labs. I feel safe. And another component is that now the groups are smaller, and I think we have more time with the professors for asking questions, for doing a procedure on a model. And I think that's one thing that COVID-19 has brought. Once we pass COVID-19, some of the good things that we like and work are going to be kept in education. And some of the things that we don't like, we're going to throw it away. But I think that COVID-19 is definitely going to change the way we learn.
For those students that might have some difficulty making transitions to the new style of the curriculum, does the college offer any support services?
Yes. So I am a tutor for the first year class. I definitely think that the peer tutoring system is going to have a more prominent role than maybe they have in the past. And I've kind of already seen that because my class, for example, we've had like two big review sessions with a couple of our tutors since school started, and we've only been in school for 2 weeks. So I like can already see that peer tutoring is going to take like a very prominent role, I think. That could be, you know, a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, I think people are going to be more willing to reach out for help when they're struggling because it's a little bit harder to get through the material if you are struggling in the way that the classes are set up. And so peer tutoring, I think, is like a really big part of that.
Yeah, I think that another way that the college is helping, and the college has, since I got into vet school, college has always tried to help students with mental health. And that's one thing that has been encouraged. Hey, we have counselors here that you can meet with them. If we are not coping with the situation, that we can actually go and talk to them. Plus, our professors, they're giving us their phone numbers. They're telling us, hey, email us if you have questions. So I do think that they want to make it as smooth as possible for us.
So it sounds like the university will continue to do a good job, especially as it relates to, you know, student wellness. For the two of you, though, how have you managed to take care of yourselves, you know, mentally and physically throughout the course of the quarantine and pandemic?
I mean, everybody has their new quarantine hobbies, right? I've done so many things I would have never done were it not for having to stay inside for 6 months. And that was really exciting. Like, I've learned a lot of cool things. And I think that's like maybe a good side of COVID. I feel like the world kind of slowed down a little bit and everybody was able to do things that they haven't done in a long time or have never tried because there wasn't time. My summer externships and things were canceled because of COVID. So I kind of had the summer off. That was something that hasn't happened in like a really long time and probably won't happen again. So it's just, that was kind of nice. And I feel like that was a good mental break for me to, you know, visit with my family and, you know, develop myself in ways outside of school that I haven't done before. And I thought that was interesting. And I thought it was like a good way to take a step back from all of the struggles and the things going on in the world right now. I feel okay with like the state of the world at the moment. Not okay, but I feel like I'll get through it.
For me, I think the way that I've been taking care of myself is one, by sleeping more. During my first year and maybe second year, I wasn't sleeping as much because I needed to get a lot of things done. But this year, it was like, you know what? Since I don't have to drive to college, I'm going to sleep an hour more. And that has made a big difference. Two, I can watch a Netflix show once in a while now. Whereas before, it was like, what? What TV show are you talking about right now? And I'm spending more time with my dogs. Sharon, my wife, she usually takes the dogs walking in the afternoons. Before, it was like, hey, I'm going to go walk the dog. Do you want to come? And it was always like, oh, I'm in the middle of something. I can't. Whereas now, it's like, you know what? I'll go with you. And she likes it because she wants to talk to me. She wants me to see the dogs being happy. And it also relaxes me. She doesn't like the way that I walk the dogs, supposedly, because I don't let them smell enough things. But other than that, I think that she's happy.
Once we come out of this COVID cocoon, is there any one like newly acquired skill that you'll take with you as we return to quote unquote normal?
I think that one of the skills that I'm going to be taking with me is going to be more appreciative of people. How many times have we been in a rush of like, I really have to go, I need to finish a few things, instead of really listening to the person that is in front of us? And I think that's one thing that COVID-19 has taught us. Hey, you don't get to see people all the time, so appreciate them while you have them in front of you. Two, I don't want to brag, but I can build a few things now with wood and with a few home projects that I've been looking at. I used to tell Sharon, hey, don't buy that, I can build it for you. She never believed me. And COVID-19 has allowed me to show her that I can build things.
So Kylie, I'll ask you a slightly different question. When we get on the other side of this, what activity are you looking forward to resuming?
I'm gonna travel. I miss going on an airplane and not feeling like I'm in a sci-fi movie. Like, that's gonna be really cool. Also, I think hanging out with people is going to be a big thing too. I miss like going to restaurants and having conversations with people without masks. And I really miss talking to clients in the building. Like, curbside is very difficult. And I'm sure a lot of people who are listening are going to think the same thing. So I can't wait for when we can invite our clients back and interact with them.
Cool. Well, thank you both for joining us today. I really enjoyed talking to you guys. Thank you so much.
Oh, you guys are awesome. Thank you for doing this and for inviting us. I really had a great time.
Yeah, this has been really
Bye.
The Ohio Veterinary Medical Association is always seeking ways to enrich your member experience. To access resources mentioned in this episode, share your feedback and suggestions, and send us an email or voice message, please visit www.fullyvettedpodcast.com. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you prefer to listen, so you never miss an episode. I'm Kristen Bennett, and on behalf of the OVMA, thanks for listening to Fully Vetted. We'll see you next time.